In just 2 weeks, we are going to be observing, I hate to say celebrate, you know, celebrate has a certain connotation to it, but observing the anniversary of the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. So I thought it would be appropriate if we thought about that a little more than just 1 week. So today, next week, we'll be looking at the cross through the eyes of those who were at the foot of the cross or around that particular area. Today, looking at the cross through the eyes of those who mocked Jesus while he hung on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is amazing that you love us. It is amazing that you loved us by sending your Son to die for us while we were yet sinners. And as we think about that, build within our hearts a greater love for you. As we observe some of the things that you recorded in Scripture surrounding the event of your Son hanging on the cross, touch our hearts that we might not be like these men who mocked Jesus. Guide us through this study, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As far back as the Persians, several hundred years before Christ, the cross was used as a device for capital punishment. No one knows how many thousands, hundreds of thousands, even perhaps millions of people over several hundreds of years died on crosses as criminals and traitors or political enemies. It was a long, slow, painful, excruciating, and humiliating death that made a person a public spectacle and subject to jeering and mocking. Jesus used the cross as a symbol well before anyone thought that he was going to die on a cross. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It was a shocking metaphor. Of course, Jesus knew what was coming. And Jesus was telling his disciples that there had to be a kind of death in their lives in order to truly follow him. The cross might have been only a footnote in history as a cruel means of capital punishment. But then, Jesus died on the cross. And the cross forever became a symbol of sacrifice, love, mercy, and salvation. There were several groups of people who witnessed the crucifixion. In Luke chapter 23, verses 33, maybe you turn there. I think we'll be in Luke a little bit here at the beginning. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And verse 35, and the people stood beholding. It's hard to tell how many people saw Jesus hanging on the cross, but this was more than just a regular, if you could use that term, crucifixion. There were those who loved him who were looking on, and next week we will consider that group of people. But for today, we look at the group of people who saw Jesus only as an object of dishonor. We're going to look at the cross through the eyes of those beholding Jesus, who chose only to mock him as he hung there suffering for them. Verse 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. Now that word derided is a very interesting word. If you look it up in the Greek dictionary, the literal meaning of the word behind this word derided is turn up the nose. Not kidding, it's in the dictionary. Turn up the nose. The root word that's a noun in this word is the word for a cow's snout. And the verb form then is for the snorting of a cow through his snout. Usually, I suppose, cows or bulls, it could either be either one in the Greek language, snort when they're not happy about something. And it became a metaphor among the Greeks for utter contempt for someone. So that when this prefix was added to the word for a cow snorting, it became metaphorically to deride, to show contempt for. To turn up the nose and spout mean words. And this is what the Jewish rulers did to Jesus as he hung upon the cross. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 39. Matthew chapter 27, verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him. This is one of those Greek words that became an English word. It is the word blaspheme. Sometimes we think the word blaspheme is only used in reference to what we say about God, but people can blaspheme other people. Basically, the word blaspheme in its original sense meant verbal abuse, to verbally abuse someone. The dictionary says it means to speak reproachfully, in other words, to angrily accuse someone of heinous crimes. The dictionary says it means to rail at, in other words, to use abusive language, to calumniate. You ever? When's the last time you used the word calumniate? I haven't used that word in a very, very long, in fact, I'm not sure I ever used it in a sentence. So I had to look it up, right? To make false accusations, that's what it means, to calumniate, to make false accusations. and to speak evil of one, to make a person sound like a terrible person. That's what it means to revile someone, to angrily accuse him of heinous crimes, to use abusive language, to make false accusations, and to make him sound like a terrible person. And this is what the rulers of the Jews did to Jesus while he hung upon the cross. Then in verse 39, it says, they were wagging their heads. And that really means to shake your head back and forth. I actually caught myself doing that this week. I was in line at the drive-thru at the bank. And you know, at the drive-thru at the bank, they have this plastic tube. You put your stuff in. You put it on the bottom of this big long tube. You push the button and whoosh, it goes, and then they send it back. Well, the plastic tube was sitting there. And the person in front of me was just sitting there in his car. So his stuff wasn't in the bank. And he was just sitting in his car, and I'm sitting there waiting. And I'm going like this. And I thought, oh, that's one of my illustrations for Sunday. That's what they're doing at the foot of the cross. They're going, oh. And you can almost imagine the facial expression that went along with their wagging of their heads. This is what the Jewish rulers did to Jesus while he was hanging on the cross. Verse 41 of Matthew chapter 27, likewise also the chief priests mocking him. Now the chief priests get involved. And also, the rest of the verse, the scribes and the elders. The elders are the members of the Sanhedrin. They're mocking him. The word mock means to make fun of, to mimic, so as to make someone look silly. They might be saying things that Jesus said in a mocking voice. Oh, I'm going to rebuild the temple in 3 days. You know that kind of thing? Or maybe one was pretending to be lame and limping around, and another person pretends to be just, I'm healing you, you know. And they're really making fun of him. They're mocking him. Then they start talking to him. And one of the things they accused him of was not being who he said he was. Verse 40. And saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. They thought it was ludicrous for Jesus to rebuild the temple in 3 days. So they accused Jesus of being a liar in his exaggeration. And then, if thou be the Son of God, if, you know what their implication was? You're not. But Jesus did claim to be the Son of God. John chapter 9, verse 37. John chapter 9, verse 37. Perhaps we should start with verse 35. John chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. What is Jesus saying? I am the Son of God. In fact, he made it even more plain than that in chapter 10, John chapter 10 and verse 36. John chapter 10 and verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. Boy, he made that kind of plain, didn't he? But you know what? He is the Son of God. He wasn't lying about that. He wasn't making it up. He is the Son of God. Luke chapter 9, verse 35. Luke chapter 9, verse 35. And there came a voice out of the cloud. Whose voice do you think that was? Not very many people on earth can speak out of a cloud, right? God is speaking, and what does he say? This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Oh, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, if thou be the Son of God, in their derision against him. But he was the Son of God. Yes, he claimed to be the Son of God because he is the Son of God. And the Jews didn't believe him, and they would not listen to him. They would not hear him. They also didn't believe that he would come down from the cross. But for different reasons, he would not come down from the cross. Jesus stayed on the cross for them. And for us. Matthew chapter 27, verse 42. Another one of their hypotheticals. Matthew 27, verse 42. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. If he be the King of the Jews. Remember the title that Pilate had put on the cross? Tells us about that over. Each one of the Gospels has a different title. But in John chapter 19, Pilate wrote a title. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said he was the King of the Jews. They objected to that title. But Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. And so they reviled Jesus and mocked him for the claim that he was the King of the Jews. But he was the King and is the King. Look in Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's the word Messiah. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet, and this is what God says to them in his sore displeasure in verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. Who's the King of Israel? God's Son. In fact, in verse 12 of Psalm 2, he says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 43. Matthew 27, verse 43. If God will have him. The verse says, he trusted in God, let him, that is God, deliver him now, if he will have him. Oh, they were so sure of themselves. They were sure that God would not have Jesus. But the truth was, Jesus is God. And unless these people who were mocking him changed their hearts and believed in him, he would not have them. Then they claimed, verse 40, that he could not do what he claimed he could do. And we come back to this matter of the destroying of the temple, verse 40, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. It really seemed ridiculous to them for someone to build the temple in 3 days, because over in John chapter 2 and verse 20, this is what that verse says. John chapter 2, verse 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? In fact, the construction of the temple had started about 13 BC, and this was about 33 AD. It's 46 years. A large construction crew has been working on the temple, and it wouldn't be completed until 64 AD. And you're going to tear it down and build it up in 3 days? Well, you know what? They didn't know what they were talking about. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18 confirm for us that Jesus was very much a participant in creation. Colossians 1, 16, 4, by him, that is his dear son, according to verse 13 of that chapter, for by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. How long did it take Jesus to create the world and all the universe? 6 days. Would it be a problem for him to build a building in 3 days? If he could build the entire universe and the world in 6 days? Mr. Cook, how long does it take you to rebuild an engine? 20 hours. How long do you think it would take me to rebuild an engine? I don't think I'd ever get it done. But you see, he could do it in 20 hours because he has the skill and he has the tools. Christ could do this because he has the skill and the tools. He could do it. But the thing of it was, when he made that statement about tearing down the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days, he wasn't even talking about the building. John chapter 2, verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. And he was talking about his death and resurrection. They just didn't know what they were talking about. But then they accused him, Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 40. They accused him of being weak and helpless. Matthew chapter 27, verse 40. And saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross." Remember, Jesus had been beaten. He was emaciated physically from all the ill treatment he had received throughout the day. He had been nailed to the cross. And to the Jews, it was a ludicrous thought that he would actually be able to come down from the cross. And they ridiculed him for the thought. Verse 41. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him and the scribes and elders said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Oh, but God won't have him. Because to the Jews, Jesus was weak and helpless. Which would have been easier for Jesus? To come down off the cross or to stay on the cross? Do you know how much effort it took to bear the weight of the sin of all mankind on the cross? It took the omnipotent will of the Almighty Son of God to stay on the cross. And there do for the Jews what the Jews could not do, nor could anyone else do for themselves, conquer sin. That was much harder than coming off the cross. Jesus stayed on the cross not because he was too weak to come off of it, but because he was strong enough to stay. Many people were offended by Jesus. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 12, we're told that the Pharisees were offended by some of the things that Jesus said. Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Oh, poor Pharisees. I guess they were the snowflakes of the day. That's a term they use for people today, isn't it? Snowflakes that are weak, offended by any little tiny thing. People in his own country were offended by Jesus. Matthew chapter 17, verse 54, when he was come into his own country, it says in verse 57, they were offended in him. But I think the offense of the rulers of the Jews and the chief priests and the scribes was much deeper than any of that. These men took this personally. For them, it was him or them. John chapter 11, verse 45. John chapter 11, verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. I think they added the words "and nation" just to kind of make it sound a little more, you know, palatable. But the big thing was they didn't want to lose their place. They had a lot of power. They were making a lot of money. You know how Jesus threw the tables and the money changers out of the temple? The high priest was the one who owned all of them. You know how they have markets today and you have to rent a table to show your worth? It was the same thing back then. To rent a space in the temple to change your money or sell your animals, you had to pay a certain amount of money to the high priest. And then, you know, the chief priests and the Sanhedrin, they all got a little share. They were making a lot of money out of this thing. They had a lot of power. They don't want to lose their place. It was him or them. Those who mocked Jesus on the cross were actually mocking themselves, because he was only there for them. If you mocked the cross, you were hiding from the ugliness of your own depravity. You are ignorant of the truth. You are weak and helpless and hopelessly lost. The sin you see in Jesus is actually your own. And the guilt you see in him is yours. 1 Peter chapter 21. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. How about that? It's not chapter 21, verse 2. It's chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. That's what he did. He suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin. He never sinned. He did no sin. He knew no sin. In him was no sin. In fact, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Scripture makes it very clear. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Look at him. See him in that moment of time when he was on the cross. He was there for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus took our sin on him on the cross. What an amazing thing he did. It is sad that people still today will mock him. But Lord, I pray that as we see what he did for us, that we will love him. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.